Okay. Y'all ready for prayer? Father, thank you so much, Lord God, that you know the beginning from the end, that your love is from everlasting to everlasting, that you have separated us from our wrongdoings so that we can be bold when we come to you, because you wanted us more than you wanted separation. You wanted us more than our punishment, because you put it all on Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray out of his goodness, out of his mercy, Father, out of your goodness, God, for Nikki and Jim, we pray for them that guidance would come in the name of Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that you're supplying grace to them. You're supplying wisdom to them right now, and you'll continue to supply wisdom to them for the guidance on what to do, where to be in life, the work's calling and his family's calling, God. I pray that you would bring peace to his heart on know what to do. Holy Spirit, thank you that you move in peace and you don't move in confusion. And I pray that they're willing to wait for that peace on their life. I pray for Neva and Joe that they both would extreme health in their lives, God. In the name of Jesus, you by your stripes we are healed. So that is a perfect tense, Father God. It's forever we are healing. And healing is in your wings, Jesus. And that is another promise of you. So we receive it. And we pray for every area of their life, God, that they might have not given up to you yet. So, Father, we pray that they would give it over to you, Lord Jesus. And not only as a stronghold, but in worry, God. That the worry would diminish as the more they trust in your goodness, Father. We pray for Renee, Lord God, for her whole entire life, the specific areas of her life that you know about that we don't know about, God. We pray for comfort in their life. We pray for healing and deliverance, Father God, and in all of these people's life, Lord Jesus, and that you would move upon their life and any works of the enemy would be loosed in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is a Robert Guilford. We pray for Robert Guilford Sr., Lord Jesus Christ, that your amazing grace would just pour upon him and it would flow like oil into all areas of his life that he lacks. Lord God, that he would realize everything is paid for, everything is given, everything is won over already. The victory is ours. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that his life would be extremely changed. Answers that he's been praying for a long time will manifest. Healing will manifest, God, and that no area of his life would go without comfort and without full sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for all of our families in here. All the distant relatives that we have, the cousins, the mothers, the brothers, the aunts, the grandmas. It's so much on our hearts, Lord Jesus. And you say you care for us, and we can cast our cares on you. We put our whole family into your hands, God. We're praying for those relatives that know you but might not know you to the point where they're set free. Father, we pray for them to fully know you, a revelation of grace to be upon their lives, that they can know, God, how good you are. They can taste and see, and they can live out their lives in that same way. I pray for bondages to be broken, strongholds in people's lives that they might have in their life that they don't know, for them to surface, God, so you can work those out. And for the ones that they do know about, Lord Jesus, that they can give it over to you and you would give them a revelation to know that you're already handling them, that all they have to do is lean into you more. You are the one who tears down strongholds. No weapon formed against us shall prosper because you are with us. That those who find shelter in the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty, Lord God. That your word is a promise to us, Father. And I pray for massive changes in everyone's life, God. Salvation for every family member. Not a single member left out, Lord God. Not a single member plagued with the chains that the enemy tries to put on them. In the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, God. That it would burn through their veins, Father, and completely transform their DNA to be a new creation. And I pray for all of us, Lord God, that we would not be caught in a mentality of trying to perform for you, but we would be at rest knowing the performance is already done, that Christ has already paid the price, that he was perfect and that he took our sins so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
We had one more come in from Grandpa Jim Ed. He said, pray for Brandon Smith and his 7 children after the loss of his wife. Let God's mercy penetrate their heart. Let God give them a spirit of joy instead of sadness.
For who, what was his name?
Brandon Smith.
Brandon Smith.
Will you check the email also?
Yes.
Make his sure family had passed away.
His wife had just had a baby.
Oh, yeah, Brandon Smith. Mm-hmm. God bless him.
She had just had their 7th child.
And then she passed away. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord God, that your ways are above our ways and your thoughts above our thoughts. I pray for unspeakable, ununderstandable joy to come to Brandon Smith, God, in this scenario. Things that make no sense, God, that are so supernatural that it wouldn't make sense in this natural realm. I pray for everlasting joy to be poured upon his heart, that comfort would be poured on him and all those children, Lord God, for this loss. We don't know the reason for it, but we know that you are above all things, God, and that you're so good and full of grace that you welcome us all into eternal glory, Father, if we believe Jesus. So I pray for everlasting joy to be on his heart, Lord God. In the midst of this loss, those children, Father, would come to you for comfort, that you would take them under like a mother hen takes her chickens, Lord Jesus, her babies, and you would comfort her and protect them all, that Brandon's heart would be comforted in this loss, Lord Jesus. I couldn't imagine, God, but I know that you've been there the whole time. So we pray for your peace upon him, that your love be poured upon him, that you would minister to him every night, Lord God, and you would give a massive revelation of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Nicholas Medina, and his title is The Real God.
The Real God.
Back to you.
Back to me. Hallelujah. You know, I'm full of words. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that some of this gets across to people. The reason I titled it The Real God is because I want people to know him as grace, because that's what saved me. You know, it's always been God working for us. Once we start to work, we start to ruin things, you mm-hmm. know. From Genesis, it was for us, always with us, always saving us, never holding us with our sin to us, but forgiving and loving. And then moving on, the law came, and we all know what happens to the law. Comes death, because sin uses that and promotes it, because without the law, we wouldn't know our sin like that. But since that came into our hands and we said, God, give us a reason, give us rules, we can do it, we can do it. That comes death, praise the Lord Jesus. But praise God, because he came down and fulfilled the law. So that covenant can be broken off, and that pressure could be broken off from our life. And now we can live in grace. Now we can live in God's mercies, God's blessings, God's favor continuously, without that performance set on us. I'm going to read this real quick. This is Romans 5:17. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard, 1995, by the way. But it doesn't matter what you read it on. It's just as powerful. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive, here's the good news, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. So by Adam's fall, by Adam's sin, death came to all men. By one man. So if much more those who receive the abundance of grace. I love that. See how it's received. It didn't say, if you obtain the abundance of grace, receive it. God, it's mine. It's a gift. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's mine. I'm receiving it and I'm believing it. Receive and believe the abundance of grace. It's overflowing, the amount of grace. And of the gift of righteousness. Oh, I love that. This is all God giving here. You see that? For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. This is the beauty of God's giving. It's so hard for us humans to receive. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious, we think we have to give back. Mm-hmm. Get it in our minds that we don't have to give nothing to God but our just attention, love. God, I love you. Here's my heart, Lord Jesus. Here's my love, God. I love you. To receive, you have to come to that place of knowing that he's all love. He's all giving. Here's my heart, Lord God. I love you. And through you receiving this grace, your life becomes him, his. Your attentions go to him. Your love goes to him. Your life becomes transformed. And it's all encompassing of Jesus Christ. We have to start with just receiving. So, if we try to be right out of our own actions, we can watch failure after failure. We know Ephesians says, by grace through faith we were saved. Not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of our works, lest we should boast. So salvation's a gift. The more pressure we put on ourselves, the more we fail. You know, it has driven me crazy every time I put pressure on myself. Once we realize that God himself came down and was tested in all areas, so he knew our weaknesses. He fulfilled the ministry of death that was engraved on stones, which is the law. He fulfilled it. And then completely of all him, he freed us from our consequences and punishment. Because it said there, he hasn't rewarded us. He hasn't punished us for our transgressions. He hasn't rewarded us for our transgression. He hasn't punished us for our iniquities. And he saved us from death and hell, but not only from death and hell, but he freed us from the dominion of sin over our lives. If we look in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Hallelujah. That is such a good news that we're no longer under this pressure. We are under just a full gift. And in that, sin doesn't have dominion. We should take that as a whole key right there, a nugget. If you could take that, you're blessed. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Because in knowing that, sin will be broke off. In knowing that, your addiction's going to be gone. And knowing that you're under grace, you're no longer under the law, you're broken off. It will not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. He gave us right standing with God through his death, through the breaking of this dominion of sin, and he has seated us in heavenly places. We start to relieve the pressure off of us to having to obtain something. That's when we become fully reliant and fully focused on Jesus. Once we take the pressure off of us, because we know we're giving all the way to him. God, I can't do it. You've done it, Jesus. Once that pressure comes off of us, then we start to receive healing. Then we start to receive transformation. Then we start to receive things because we're saying, God, I can't get this to work. And God's like, hey, it's mine. Give it to me. And you're like, oh, man, here's the relief. And God's like, hey, watch everything start to flow in your life. Sin no longer has control. Everything on your life no longer has control. You don't have to perform to be good enough. Jesus Christ was good enough. And watch how things start to change. Now, of course, like I said earlier, we want to do good things. But our intentions of doing good things will start to shift from doing it because we're supposed to. You know, a lot of us get in that mentality of, well, I'm supposed to go pray. I'm supposed to go give. I'm supposed to tithe, you know. It'll shift our mind from that, or because we want to. Well, I want to do good for you, God. I want to do good for you. And it'll turn to literally the Spirit living through us. Mm-hmm. It will become just something that flows. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Once we start taking the pressure off of us, we focus completely on Christ Jesus. We give everything to his hand. The Spirit will start living through us. And we'll start doing the good things because we're connected to the branch. Fruit will start to appear and become manifest by just being connected. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that because I always plagued myself with that. Well, I know I'm supposed to do right. I'm supposed to give these homeless people money. I'm supposed to help out people who are sick. I'm supposed to pray. It transforms to you're supposed to literally it's just the Spirit in you. Mm-hmm. Oh, go pray for them. Watch what God can do. And you're excited. Yes. You're like, man, you're no longer drained, but you're overflowing at this point. Mm-hmm. Once we get to a place where we're trying to fill other people's cups with what we have left, that drains us. Mm-hmm. Once we step into grace, and we step into Jesus and we fully rely on him, it becomes an overflow. Come and take from me because God is overflowing me. What's that song, Tasha Cobbs? Fill me up until I overflow. I want to run over. We all want to run over. And it's not by our actions. Stop putting the pressure on yourself. It's only by God flowing through you. I absolutely love that. With the knowledge of Christ being sin for us, and us being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we completely relieve all the pressure of trying to be right. In Colossians 3:3, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, my gosh. And what was Galatians? It's no longer I, but Christ who lives through me, or Christ who lives in me. I was crucified on a cross with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Do you see this? It is a replacement of ourselves and letting Jesus live. And we also see that we are hidden in Christ. And in Peter, 1 Peter 4, it says, all you who are in Christ Jesus. To me, it's a massive revelation of I'm at the forefront. This was me. This was Jesus and God. And I was having them to work through me, right? Mm. When Christ sees, when God sees us, he doesn't see us. Who does he see? Christ. He sees Jesus, right? We have to see ourselves as hidden in Jesus and his beauty, his perfection, his glory at the forefront. Because if we don't see that, it comes to what am I doing? Oh, how do I look? Do I look good? Do I look presentable? Am I speaking well enough? Did I pray well enough? Do those people think? It's all becoming an insecurity. That's where fear comes from because all the pressure's on us. Once we hide ourselves in Christ, oh, God, it's not me no more. How relieving is that? Oh, God doesn't see me, he sees Christ. And then once you start to hide yourself in Christ, that's when other people don't see you anymore. They see Christ. And that's when you're able to love like Jesus, keeping no record of wrong. How hard is that, keeping no record of wrong? But when we hide ourselves in Jesus and we filter our love through Jesus Christ, it becomes him living. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Mm-hmm. Take the pressure off yourself. Let Jesus be your perfection. Let Jesus be your performance. Let Jesus be what obtained your right standing with God. And what did that scripture say earlier? That we can receive the gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace. Receive it. You cannot work to allow Jesus to be this outer shell of you. You cannot work for Jesus to be the inner shell of you. Salvation was a gift by believing in faith of his grace. The same way with a lifestyle of a believer, believe and receive that Jesus is all around you, the Holy Spirit's in you, and God is over you at all times. All the pressure is off of us now. If we do that, we will stop critiquing ourselves. Mm-hmm. I critique myself all the time. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I'll go out and Christ will live through me, and people will be like, oh my goodness, I felt the Holy Spirit. Then I'll go home and be like, oh my gosh. Oh man, they felt the Holy Spirit. What do I have to do next time for him to come? And realize it wasn't even mine to do the first place.
Yes.
It was just because I believe that I'm the light of the world. How is that? Because Jesus died. Mm-hmm. I believe that he can live through me. How is that? Because Jesus died. I believe that he's shining through me. How is that? Because Jesus died. And what? He rose again. He is everything. He is our performance. He is who we are. We are all hidden in Christ. We are everything because of Jesus. We need to accept that grace on our lives. Stop putting pressure on ourselves. The real God is a God who is taking care of everything for us. The real God is a God who loves. He's not a judge with a gavel ready to slam and give you a sentence. The real God is forgiving. The real God keeps no record of your wrong. Why is that so hard to do that as a human? Because it's supernatural. He keeps no record of our wrong. Not a single thing you've done. Whew, wipes it clean. What does it say? I have removed your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west. Keep that in mind. Not east of earth to west, because you'll just circle back around. Mm-hmm. I'm talking east into infinity, west into infinity. You have been separated from your sin. You have been separated from the once person you were, and now you're cloaked in Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, and God is over you, and God moves before you. Except that he's doing all the work. The real God doesn't see your sin. The real God sees a weakness. And the real God came in the form of a man and was tested in all ways to know your weaknesses so that he can sympathize with you and know how it is to feel that way. And if I had cancer and she had cancer and she goes through it, God forbid, in the name of Jesus Christ, we'll never get it, I would be able to sympathize with her because I had been in the same place. Somebody else wouldn't know how the depression feels, how the fear feels. But I would know because I'd been there. Jesus was tested in all our ways so that he can be the forefront. Let him be the light. Let him be the goodness. Let him be the performance. Let the Holy Spirit move. The Bible never says get up and move so things can change. It says let the Holy Spirit move. If the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it didn't say if you who raised Christ from the dead. No, mm-hmm. The pressure is all off of us. The real God took the pressure on that cross when he was suffering, when he was beaten and bruised and battered so that we could live whole. Stop excluding Jesus' grace from our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Stop doing it. Take the pressure off of yourself, ladies and gentlemen. It's good news. All the people who are lost and think, I need to come to God, but I have to correct things. No, you do not. Please don't, because you'll be waiting a long time. Mm-hmm. If you come to God and you say, look, I choose today. I'm going to come to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to do it. And you come and you mess up. Here is a standing stone for you. There is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not let your stumble and your mess up and your sin separate your mind from God. Because I'm going to let you know, your sin never separated you from God. In the beginning, Adam, when he had sinned, what did Jesus come out saying? Adam, where are you? He was still looking for Adam. Why? Because he loved him. What did Adam say? I had done what you asked me not to, and I was naked, and I covered myself because I was ashamed. Your sin, and I'm here to tell you right now, if you can grab onto this, your sin doesn't stop the pursuit of a relationship from God. It's mental self-separation from the acceptance of grace. Your sin will trick you into thinking, oh man, God doesn't want me. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I've hurt God. It's your self-separation. The sin is something Jesus has already paid for. It's done on the cross. You mess up again in pornography, it's done. You mess up again in meth, it's done. You lie again, it's done. It was paid for on the cross. Stop letting your sin hold you back from a relationship with the real loving God and Father. Stop doing it. All the believers who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Grace is yours. He is in you. He is with you. He is all around you. He is surrounding you. He is before you. He is behind you. He's in every direction. You're not living. It's Christ living in you. Take the pressure off of yourself. Accept the real God. Accept the true Jesus, who doesn't judge you according to your wrongdoings. All you people out there who have not came to Jesus, stop thinking you're not good enough. Christ paved the way for you. Everything is done. There's not a single sin that can hold you back from Jesus. There's not a single thing that can deter God from loving you. He loved you in the midst of your worst sin. Come to him as you are, in your addiction, in your bondage, in your sufferings, in your secret sins. Come to him right now and watch him hold your hand and walk you through these things. Stop walking alone and stop thinking you have to perform for God. And all the believers out there who are suffering with feeling like they're not doing enough for God, stop now. This is a lie from Satan, and it is another form, a child almost, of the law. Oh, you're with God, but you're not doing enough for God. Oh, you're not doing enough to get a blessing. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ over every believer. It is all yours. The promises of Abraham are yours. Go look in Galatians. Every promise, every blessing is yes and amen to those who believe. And all the people who aren't saved, just believe in the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You don't have to perform. You don't have to change everything in your life. In Christ, transformation begins to happen. Sin has no more dominion over us when we believe that Christ paid for our sins and completely abolished the law and sin and pressure from our lives. He loved us so much and wanted us so much that he tore down the only thing that could separate us from him, and that's our wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. So stop letting your wrongdoings or your wrong thoughts separate you from God, who didn't allow anything to separate us from him. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin has no dominion. Your faults have no dominion. It's all a gift from God. Receive it and believe it today.
That is a good word. That kind of builds upon what Karen was talking about. Just share the simplicity of the gospel with people.
It's the good news. What's good news about having to work and work to obtain something? Yeah. The good news, it's a gift. Yeah. Receive it. Right believing of the real God. Stop letting your disbelief of him being so good. Oh, you're too good. I can't accept it. Stop letting that have dominion in your life.
So I want to share something that I've dealt with for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But God freed me from the stronghold.
Hallelujah.
And the stronghold was the enemy started telling me lies, and I took one as truth. I entertained it, and then it took root because I just didn't know, you know. And being someone who has died and who has seen Jesus at 12 years old, as soon as I woke up, came back from that encounter, the personal encounter with Jesus, the enemy immediately started attacking and trying to steal it, telling me I was crazy, and just a whole lot of fiery darts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one dart really got me, and it kind of messed it messed with my head,
right?
You know, and see John 14,
and that's where he's gonna hit. Uh-huh. Your head, and he'll disguise himself as God.
He has studied me from day one. I mean, yeah. So in John 20, let's go to John 20 first. And this is just, I just want you to see how the enemy works. But I also want you to see the goodness of God when you cry out to him and ask him for help to show you. Because I didn't know, I just felt like I kept hitting a brick wall, you know? Mm-hmm. I would just bam. And then it would be like, what is my problem? Mm-hmm. What is going on in me? Something is not right and I need help. What is it?
Right.
Please show me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And it was doubting. And he also had me search doubt, unbelief, and disbelief. Mm-hmm. He had me search those three words, okay? And then he said, he showed me a picture of a big block, a big cement block that had blessed on it. And I was like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a lie that I believe,
right,
which is a stronghold,
mm-hmm,
in my life. And in John 20, 28 and 29, Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Well, let me back up to 27. So, and then Thomas said, and then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, and this is where the enemy got me, the lie that I believed. The enemy told me, had me convinced that I was not blessed because I've seen my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally quoted this verse. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So the enemy used the word of God,
mm-hmm,
twisted it, had me believe that it, had me believe that I wasn't blessed,
mm-hmm,
because when I died, I spent time with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I brought it to the Lord, because I realized that I've got something, I've got a roadblock, I've got something going on, Lord, and I don't know what it is. I need you to show me, please,
mm-hmm,
because I don't like it. Well, he then showed me that block with blessed and then had me search, word search, doubt, disbelief, and unbelief. Okay. Then he told me to go to 14, John 14. 9 and 10. I'm going to back up to 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Verse 12. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it."
Hallelujah. I love that.
And the Lord, when he showed me that, because I was seeking wholehearted,
mm-hmm.
I was very sincere. And the Lord said, because I knocked,
mm-hmm.
I asked. And him being the loving, faithful Father,
mm-hmm.
he showed me and helped that stone, that wall, crumble and become stepping stones,
mm-hmm.
instead of a roadblock, a dead end block where I just keep banging and banging and banging.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you today. Seek the Father.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what or why, ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, personally, I've come to a place where if it means something to me, if it's important, the enemy can't hear my thoughts. He can only hear what I speak out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when I have something that I'm looking for or I'm seeking information, wisdom, knowledge, I go to my secret place. I don't communicate out loud. I pray to my Father intimately. Just an intimacy is between you
mm-hmm.
and him only.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned if I speak it out, there's somebody else listening.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to have the clear revelation without interruption and distraction, I go to my Father silently and pour it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pours into me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so cool to to know and for that to be brought to light. Mm-hmm. I knew something was hindering. I knew something was stopping my advancement. The walk. I get so far and then it's like, oh, why does this keep happening? Because I had a stronghold. I believed a lie from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And only God could give me the wisdom and the knowledge and the help to break the stronghold.
Mm-hmm. Did that stronghold make you feel like you had to do something to get rid of it? I know you came to a revelation.
I would get to a place. I would get to a place
41 minutes.
Where I would be, like you said, not feeling enough, mm-hmm. like I'm enough. A performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I catch myself feeling that way, Lord, just me and him. And, yeah.
And then you received a blessing and a revelation.
Yes.
It wasn't from work. You went straight to the Father, and he's like, here.
Yeah. And I didn't have to wipe my brow right. because I was working so hard. You know what I mean?
And the wrong belief is you trying to obtain. You said I was in unbelief. And really, the belief and the revelation came as a gift from God through the scripture when mm-hmm. you came to him.
And I just had, I had believed the doubt. I believed a lie. Mm-hmm. A seed of doubt came in. And that seed of doubt took root.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
But God.
Try to, ooh, I love that. We can go on for days about obtaining. Mm-hmm. The devil always going to trick you into try to working something out. Mm-hmm. And God's like, hey, just come to me and receive a blessing of revelation. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
We appreciate you coming and sharing with us.
Yes.
It was a really good word this morning. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day for myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our brother in Christ, Nicholas Medina. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.